All right, I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting is BTQ.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nikolay Rusinuddin, the co-founder and chief operating officer of BTQ Technologies. We're a publicly listed quantum technology company listed in Toronto on the NEO Exchange. And so we're focused on commercializing near-term quantum technology. Right now, there's a global space race to develop quantum computers and adjacent technologies. And I think it's getting quite exciting just given the amount of capital going into the space. It is truly global. You have China outspending the U.S. 30-1 on quantum technology. They just recently announced a $15 billion quantum lab. You also have substantial developments here in Canada. So last year, for the first time, Canada introduced its first national quantum roadmap. This was about $700 million, focused on computing, quantum sensing, quantum communications, and cryptography as well. And there's a huge amount of implications for the advancements of quantum technologies. What made quantum technology famous back in 1994 was this researcher at Bell Labs in the United States by the name of Peter Shor came up with Shor's algorithm. So he was able to theoretically demonstrate that quantum computers could break modern day encryption. So this is the public key cryptography that we've been using on the internet for the past 40 years. So all of that is rendered obsolete with the emergence of quantum technology. So there's a huge risk today that bad actors out there, so whether that's foreign governments or companies, are harvesting encrypted data, harvesting your data today, and just planning to decrypt it at a later stage when they build a working quantum computer. And this is why the U.S. government and others have recently mandated the move to quantum encryption. So this is a new form of cryptography that can withstand quantum attack. As mentioned, this is very important because bad actors can simply harvest encrypted data today and just decrypt it at a later stage. So think defense, think anyone with long-term data security requirements. It's very important to start looking at encrypting information today with quantum secure schemes. So the agency in the U.S. that is leading this is NIST. So together with the National Security Agency, this transition to post-quantum standards started almost a decade ago. So there's been a huge global effort in academia, some of the large technology companies, researchers, to come up with new algorithms, based on new math problems that can withstand quantum attack. So BTQ, we've been involved in this process, and one of our algorithms has been shortlisted in the standards. Canada is actually where quantum was first commercialized. So back in 1999, D-Wave Systems, company here in Vancouver, started building a quantum computer. You're now seeing a robust ecosystem of startups and nonprofits, across the country. The Trudeau government has been very supportive, which was essentially explained in this national quantum strategy that was announced last year. So BTQ, we've assembled a leading team of researchers focused on quantum technology. We do this in partnership with some great universities like University of Waterloo, University of Macquarie University down in Sydney, And then various government institutes like ITRI in Taiwan, which incubated TSMC, and others. So, but we're headquartered here in Vancouver. And right now we're focused on, you know, basically building quantum-related intellectual property. And we have a focus on cybersecurity, just given the recent standards and you know, some of the catalysts there. And we also engage in research contracts. So we develop quantum-related intellectual property for large companies like Foxconn, where we co-own IP. And we also work with the Canadian government and other governments on quantum-related projects. So team is led by Olivier. So he's the founder of Hive and DeFi Technologies. Hive is a NASDAQ-listed data center company. Our chief scientist is Professor Brennan. So he's the head of quantum engineering at Macquarie University in Sydney. And we also have, you know, our on our board, Kevin Mulhern, who's the vice president of Broadridge Financial Group. So I think it's very exciting as a public company right now. We're the only one that's listed focused on this near term, on some of these near term applications of quantum cybersecurity. We're now in the stage where we're actively licensing and commercializing our various product offerings. So over the summer, we announced our first material licensing revenue. Our products span across software and hardware. So PQ Scale, for instance, is a framework for blockchains to be post-quantum compliant. So we're working with some of the leading blockchains like Stellar and Starkware. QSIM is our hardware offering. So what we think is going to be a, you know, a major opportunity is you know, post-quantum hardware. So you can think of every connected device is going to need to upgrade and support post-quantum cryptographic processors. So whether that's your phone or your an IoT device or what have you. So at BTQ, we've developed a hardware offering that can we can license out to various companies, you know, that are manufacturing these products. And we're well known for developing Prion, which has been shortlisted in that U.S. government process. So this is an algorithm that you know, we have high conviction on being standardized and was co-developed with our partners at Foxconn Group. So PQ Scale is our blockchain offering. We're working closely with Starkware. This is the largest kind of network, layer two network on Ethereum. And I think we're seeing all blockchains, you know, moving to quantum security. You know, this was a you know, kind of laid out in the roadmap earlier this year by Vitalik, the founder of Ethereum. And we're looking at other applications for quantum technology. So quantum consensus is essentially building a quantum analog for proof of work. So proof of work is what powers Bitcoin's consensus mechanism. So we've built a way to essentially perform proof of work using near-term quantum devices, because I think there's still a real need to find near-term use cases in quantum computing. So we looked at it from, you know, how can we perform proof of work using kind of dramatically less energy, you know, than existing, you know, Bitcoin POW. So this is what we demonstrated and published a paper on with our partners at Macquarie University in Sydney. And there's lots of applications in central bank digital currencies. So the Bank of Canada recently published a paper on, you know, the fact that their central bank digital currency that they're developing needs to be post-quantum first. So we're quite excited about the use cases here for both our software PQScale and QSIM offering to power the quantum security for global money supply. Prion, so we are the only Canadian company with a U.S. government quantum encryption standard. We're quite excited in that over the summer we announced a partnership with SK Group. This is the telecom company in Korea, to deploy Prion within their telco network. Just shows that every country, especially in Asia, is following the U.S., and they're all adopting these NIST standards. Already touched on this. So we're very excited about our QSIM offering. Just yesterday, we announced an acquisition of a Stanford-incubated quantum hardware company. We see a huge opportunity to essentially power various IoT devices, mobile devices, with this technology. And we've been working on this initially with our partners at ITRI, which is the research institute in Taiwan, and we keep an office in Taipei, which we see as very strategic to work with some of the large companies there that would need our intellectual property. So we've been public for about a year and a half now, listed early last year. We raised about $7.5 million placement when we went live traded on the NEO and on the OTCQX. Yeah, some of our partners, so we're very fortunate to work with the Canadian government. Just last month, we announced our first kind of large-scale grant from MITAC, the Canadian funding agency, as well as partners like Foxconn and also CSIRO, which is the Australian National Lab. So some of our key milestones. So we've been building an extensive patent portfolio as well. I don't think we've listed that here. So we have over 10 patents and are actively looking at M&A and other opportunities to kind of have the most extensive near-term quantum IP portfolio. And just recently, I'll highlight this as a major catalyst. So last month, the U.S. government published these quantum encryption standards. So this is after almost 10 years. And I think when it comes to quantum, there's been a lot of focus on the computing side, building quantum systems. But the implications as it relates to cybersecurity has been a bit under the radar, but it's extremely important. And certain agencies in the U.S. Now have less than 180 days to implement these standards within their infrastructure. And this was mandated through a Biden administration executive order. So we're aggressively expanding. We've launched a subsidiary, BGQ Australia, over the summer, and have partnered with the Australian Quantum Software Network. So this is a not-for-profit backed by the Australian government. So we're helping them commercialize some of their technology that they're building. So they have support from all the major universities in Australia. And Australia has one of the best quantum-related talent pools. It's important to emphasize how scarce the talent is in quantum computing. I think when it comes to something like quantum error correction, so the like building quantum computers, you have potentially hundreds of of researchers globally that have the expertise. So it's a very small talent pool. And over the summer, we also announced our partnership with IDQ. This is the subsidiary of SK Group. IDQ is a provider of hardware to Samsung. So they power the random number generator technology in Samsung devices. So we're quite excited about that partnership to incorporate some of our hardware technology in that ecosystem. So Foxconn is an exceptional partner. We're working with them not only on the development of Preon, our quantum encryption standard, but Foxconn, like other companies, are very interested in Canada and the quantum ecosystem here. So we have a partnership with Foxconn to oversee research they do within Canada. So whether that's with universities, other corporates here, they do that through BGQ. And I think there's opportunity to do other partnerships like that, going forward. So early next month, we'll be in Waterloo speaking at their annual cybersecurity conference. Currently we're working with Waterloo on developing a hardware implementation for Preon, our quantum security standard. And we're very excited to be involved in that ecosystem, and we see Waterloo as a great place for additional hiring of research talent. And we're now seeing a bit of coverage. We've been pretty under the radar, but I think this is our first capital markets conference I've done. Just stepping back, I think right now is a very exciting time for quantum technology here in Canada and elsewhere, and we're starting to see a bit more mainstream coverage. It was mentioned in the U.S. presidential debate a few weeks ago as well, and I think that'll continue. And we're working with a number of other standards organizations as well. So NIST isn't the only one. There's IRCS, which is a Korean-based organization, and so every country has its own independent standards, but will typically follow NIST at the end of the day. And I think that pretty much sums it up. So happy to take any questions and go from there. Yeah. Sorry. So we announced our first revenue deal over the summer, so we're currently generating revenue. No, not yet, but we announced in our filing over the summer that our first set of licensing deals. So I think now that the standards are in place, we're very bullish on kind of the next 6 months in terms of other contracts and other developments that can bring the company forward.
I'm not going to pretend to know much about quantum computing. I honestly don't know much. Can you just simplify for me? So, WhatsApp, for example, uses encryption service, end-to-end encryption. What does quantum
Sure. So if WhatsApp or some of the messaging services are already quantum secure, so Signal, for instance, has introduced quantum security. So as an end user, you won't even experience anything. So ultimately, there's just a new encryption algorithm that underpins that is kind of backed by a new math problem that has no known quantum attack vectors.
So does WhatsApp currently do that, or WhatsApp could be potentially?
I don't think WhatsApp currently does it, but Facebook has announced plans to transition to post-quantum security.
Okay, and now would a company like you be like third party being able to sell your product to like Facebook to give them quantum computing benefits, or?
Sure, they could use our encryption standard for sure to do that, to enable that compliance.
Okay, and if someone were to breach them because they don't have quantum computing, they have access to everyone's Facebook profile, essentially is what you're saying, without it being quantum?
Yeah, that's right. They'll be able to, with if they have a capable quantum computer, they'll be able to break into those and decrypt them.
Okay, and you already have like a software kind of generated thing that prevents this from happening currently? Like you already have this quantum protocol that could be used, like implemented today,
that's
dissemination of public profiles or whatever?
Yeah, that's right. When quantum computers? So there's already quantum computers that are available today. So you can go rent them, kind of like you go to Amazon Cloud Services and can access them via the cloud. They're just not very powerful yet. So I think that's kind of a global challenge: is how do we scale these systems so they can solve useful problems or kind of decrypt encryption? But yeah, you can access quantum systems today. Amazon offers them, so a lot of researchers are now using them and seeing what they can come up with and seeing if they can find useful problems.
Yeah, just to clarify, the zero-knowledge proofs, like, are all the algos quantum-resistant, or is it your implementation more quantum-resistant than the other one?
Yeah, so we have the only post-quantum zero-knowledge standard that's recognized by NIST. So any other kind of company or what have you that says they're doing post-quantum zero knowledge, you know, they're not using a standard. And if you're not using a standard, you know, typically, you know, you're not seen as being prudent with your infrastructure.
So they're not really better.
No. They would be kind of they could use Prion our standard, so we don't see them as competitors. That's, I think we see that as a potential partner.
Okay, so yep. Your intellectual knowledge, you've got standards, you've got kind of the approval button on the next side. Okay, so the second question is, like, you know, like you're in blockchain, you've done the Stellar implementation. How do you get your intellectual property from, you know, let's say some guy, you know, doing a hard fork of the Stellar blockchain?
Sure, so we've also built hardware acceleration, so even if we were to open source all the software, there would still need to be hardware acceleration for that technology. So that's a way that we could, you know, kind of continue to monetize. Yeah, so I mean, most of the companies we're working with are U.S.-based currently for blockchain. What mandates quantum encryption? I mean, several do, but I would, you know, it kind of depends what you're looking at. But yeah, happy to talk to you about the specific mandates around that. Yeah, I think they're Taiwan. We don't do anything in mainland China. So Foxconn's headquartered in Taiwan, which is you know, still obviously not recognized, but you know, still you know, within you know, Canadian government right now. We've had a lot of support from the trade office in Taipei. You know, they're very supportive of our partnership with that group. Yeah, for sure. Okay, great. Thank you.